Bloomberg on the Weekend continues. I'm Charlie Pellett. Still to come, lyricist and director David Zippel will join us to talk about his long career on Broadway.
Well, I think the first time that the cast did You're Nothing Without Me at the end of the first act of City of Angels was one of the high points for me. It was a great moment because Cy Coleman and Larry Gelbart and I worked on it for years, and when it all happened, it was quite an exciting moment.
And we'll hear about his current show, The Best Is Yet to Come. But first, the work of the group Erase Racism. It's a Long Island-based organization that is fighting institutional and structural racism. Its president is Elaine Gross.
We are 10 years old this year, and we came into being because of the lack of attention to structural racism, meaning not so much individuals who are intentionally trying to discriminate, but because of the policies and practices, the kind of status quo, if you will, that creates racial inequities in a lot of different areas, whether it's housing, public school education, health, etc. So that's how we came into being. There was a need, and the Long Island Community Foundation saw that need from their grant making, and I was asked to think about how to address that.
Well, you've got to elaborate on that, because don't we have some of the strongest anti-discrimination laws on the books now, both at the federal level and also here in New York State?
Well, there certainly are strong laws federally, but, you know, the laws are only as good as the enforcement. And in the case of housing, fair housing, for example, we found that the enforcement of the federal law had been delegated to the state. And unfortunately, the state was both not terribly accessible and also not doing as good a job as it might do. So we took that opportunity to say, look, we need to have fair housing laws that are here at the county level for both Nassau and Suffolk County. And we were successful in getting the two counties to pass such laws with administrative enforcement systems, which means that people don't have to have the money to hire an attorney and go to court. They can go through this administrative process at the county level and file a complaint and seek some redress that way.
All right. Well, give us a sense of progress then over the past decade. Take us back to 2001, where things were then and where things are now.
Well, I would like to report a lot more progress. Unfortunately, Long Island, Nassau, and Suffolk County are still one of the most racially segregated communities in the country. The progress that we can report is that now there is a structure in place as of 2007, a structure in place which allows people to at least file those complaints locally, and, you know, it's more accessible to them. So are the counties enforcing it aggressively? Not yet. We're still working on that. Unfortunately, they came upon some other issues, like the economy tanking. And so this kind of an activity sort of shoots to the bottom of the list, if you will, where they're trying to figure out where to put their money and what kind of services to offer. So I'm disappointed, but we are hopeful that because we have put in place some of these new opportunities for people, we know that people have begun to file the complaints. But it is, I can't report to you at today that we're at the place where we want to be.
Well, big picture then, here it is 2011. We are 1 year away from the 2012 presidential election. You have got a black president in the White House who is running for re-election. Some will tell you that when America elected a black president, it moved beyond racism. How much more work has to be done? How much more can be done?
Well, I think that we have moved beyond the Jim Crow segregation that people remember, where you have in place, this is the school for black students, this is the school for white students, you have to go to that school. But Long Island still has very racially segregated schools in 2011. And the way that happens is because we have so many school districts, 124, because of the way the district lines are drawn to mirror that residential segregation I spoke to you about, we end up with segregated schools here. And the outcomes in those schools are also very different. You might go to one school, a school that's majority white, and you'll see all of the latest in terms of tools to assist with teaching. And you go to a school that's majority black or Latino, and you don't find the smart boards or the various other tools that people are have. So, yes, we've made progress in terms of people being more comfortable with people who look different from them. But we haven't made progress in those kinds of structural issues or the aggressive enforcement of civil rights laws and the heavy penalties that we would like to see.
All right. Well, as I listen between the lines, then, I get the sense that you are pointing a finger at Albany. With all of the issues in Albany, why do you think this issue has not attracted more attention?
I think that civil rights issues generally attract less attention when you're dealing with economic problems. So whenever you have an economic downturn, not only do you get more more things like hate crimes, et cetera, you know, people acting out, but on the administrative side, you get less attention to it because people feel that there are other more pressing issues. And in fact, that is the time when we need to have more attention to civil rights issues, because the people who have been disadvantaged, this is a time where they're more likely even be shut out. So if we're having cuts in school budgets, for example, whereas a wealthier district might be able to survive with a cut, you have a poor district that receives a larger amount from state funds rather than property taxes, because their property tax base is small, they have a much harder time withstanding those cuts. So it's a complex issue, but it is one which requires additional attention, especially in these times, in these hard economic times.
Was I correct in inferring then that Albany is the root of the problem from your perspective? Yes, I know the focus is on Nassau and Suffolk County, but truth of the matter is their hands are tied because of what happens in Albany.
I don't know that I would put it that way. I would say that, especially on the schools, for example, we know that we have local control here. So there are things that Albany could do to offer some carrots and sticks through the Department of Education to encourage things like school consolidation, for example. But in terms of the enforcement of the new fair housing laws, that's a county responsibility. So that's where they can be more aggressive. So it is... unfortunately, if you want to talk about blame, there's plenty of blame to spread around with this kind of issue.
Elaine Gross, president of the group Erase Racism. Coming up next, Joe Franklin interviews Tony Award-winning lyricist David Zippel. We'll hear about his current show, The Best Is Yet to Come, the music of Cy Coleman. This is Bloomberg on the Weekend.